Mental health illness affects millions of people in the United States each year, and it can express in many different forms depending on each person and their experiences. Remember that you're not alone, and today we'll learn more about mental illness and ways to get help. We're going to talk about it with Maria Yamas. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist at Ridgecrest Regional Hospital. This is the Ridgecrest Regional Hospital podcast. My name is Prakash Chandran. So Maria, really appreciate you being here today. Thank you so much for your time. You know, I think broadly, a question that I wanted to start with is, what exactly is the definition of mental health?
Yes. So Prakash, thank you for having me today. So the definition of mental health is, simply put, it's our ability to respond to challenges of life, our ability to bounce back and stay on course when things go bad. As you know, we all go through difficulties that affect our mental health, and that could be on a short-term basis or long-term basis, depending on circumstances. You know, when we start to have problems, it can negatively impact our relationships, our work environment, our ability to do well in school, and just our overall personal growth. One important thing about mental health that I wanted to mention is that it's often tied together with physical health. Our mental health is on a continuum similar to our physical health. And what that means, Prakash, is that both our mental health and physical health can move from well to unwell, depending on how we choose to live our lives and how we choose to address the issues that come up. So like, good mental health comes from engaging with our support systems, participating in healthy activities, practicing self-care, setting healthy boundaries, whereas bad mental health can stem from relationship problems, financial problems, excessive work stress, chronic medical issues. So what we don't want to do is sit on the negative end of the continuum too long without doing something about it, because symptoms will definitely get worse.
You know, one of the things that's kind of top of mind is mental health during a pandemic. You know, I was wondering if you could maybe speak to some of the most common mental health issues that arose during the pandemic and who it affected.
Yeah, Prakash. So during the pandemic, there was a huge increase in anxiety and depression cases. According to the World Health Organization, anxiety and depression actually increased by 25% worldwide. And that was just in the first year of the pandemic. You know, people who struggled with anxiety experienced many issues, like excessive worries about getting COVID, losing a job, you know, financial problems. And people who struggled with depression, you know, they experienced persistent feelings of sadness and loneliness because of, you know, being asked to isolate. It's very important to note that the symptoms of anxiety and depression, you know, they were very different for everyone. Also, it's important to note, people can master hiding these symptoms. So no one would have any idea that, you know, their family and friends were struggling. I want to share really quick. There's actually a meme that really stuck out to me. And it reads, people don't fake depression, they fake being okay. And I feel like a lot of people experience this, and it can be very exhausting.
Ah, that is so true. And especially, I feel like that's like sometimes exacerbated by social media and just seeing the way people portray themselves online. You kind of wonder to yourself, like, am I the only one that's struggling? And maybe it's not worth me talking about that. Do you kind of see that yourself?
Yes, often. People, again, that stems from, you know, people feeling alone, like they're struggling with their symptoms alone, when in fact, you know, it was a lot more people in the world that were struggling with those symptoms. But yes, a lot of people do feel alone. They feel like no one else is going what they're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned is that mental health is on a spectrum, right? So it can build over time. And sometimes people don't even realize how bad it's gotten. So that leads me to the question of, what are the common signs that mental health is becoming harmful? And when should people start to seek help?
Yeah, Prakash. So there are, you know, some of the common signs that our mental health or our loved ones' mental health is becoming harmful are if you notice like drastic changes in their work or school performance, right? Not being able to complete daily activities like cooking, cleaning, hygiene, you know, all of a sudden they're avoiding family and friends, they're isolating. Drastic changes in mood, they're angry or irritable all the time, or they're sleeping too much or sleeping too little, abusing alcohol and drugs. And earlier you had mentioned social media, actually postings on social media. It's become commonplace for people to vent on social media about how they feel and what they're going through. Also, any talks of suicide or attempt or talks of, you know, harming anyone else. So, you know, if anyone notices any of these signs, it's okay to ask questions, especially when people start talking about harming themselves or others. More than not, people struggling with mental health will not outright mention it to anyone. And usually it's for fear of judgment.
Yeah, let's expand on that a little bit. I'd love to understand a little bit more around if we're noticing a friend or a loved one that might be having a hard time, you know, maybe, you know, they're venting on social media, they're doing some of the things that you talked about. How can we, as a support, better understand their mental health and also reduce that stigma that so many people have around bringing it up with someone?
Yeah. So by being mindful and talking about mental health, I know I keep saying talking about it, but it's important because people don't like to talk about mental health. By asking questions, by trying to understand the symptoms, right? Really quick, the stigma on mental health, you know, it stems all the way back to the 1800s when people were seen as outcasts and dangerous and they were placed in asylums. The ongoing stigma of today prevents people from seeking and accepting help, right? People who are stigmatized, they often feel ashamed, hopeless, misunderstood, discriminated against, or alone and afraid. Some of the ways that we can help reduce the stigma and provide that support is, you know, being okay with talking about it, thinking about our own feelings, and being aware of our own biases and judgments towards mental health. Being aware of language we use. Avoid using words that can be hurtful, like psycho or crazy. Not labeling people with mental health illness. You know, Prakash, it's actually become more common to hear people label others as bipolar, narcissist, or OCD. In regular conversation, I hear that often. Being aware of how people with mental illness are portrayed in like media, movies, knowing that it's not always accurate or fair, and self-educating and being okay with educating others. Lastly, supporting people without questioning the legitimacy of what they're experiencing so that they feel that it's okay to talk about it, because a lot of people don't want to get help because they've had experiences where they'll ask somebody or they'll mention that they're struggling and people kind of dismiss it.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. And it, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because, you know, I had a close friend from college who the other day on social media just posted something just around the fact that he was having a hard time. And it was kind of non-characteristic of him. And me and my other college roommates were like, hey, we should like, let's hop on the phone and talk to him. And so the three of us hopped on a call and it turns out that he'd been struggling for quite some time, basically since his kids were born 7 years ago. And I mean, I really had no idea. And then we started talking about the different struggles that all of us were going through, especially during this pandemic. And it turned out that like a lot of the anxiety that I had been feeling around like, oh, you know, I got a newborn, I got to work, I got to do all these things, it was really affecting me. And everyone else was going through the same thing. So just talking about it together and surfacing up the conversation in a way that it's not something that's taboo, it's something that should be discussed, especially three men talking about it, was extraordinarily helpful and relieving. And I'm sure that's kind of the point that you're making, right? Like that everyone has it, but when you make it something that cannot be discussed, then people have to suffer unnecessarily in silence. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's wonderful that you guys all got on the phone to communicate with your friend. And that's sometimes that's all it takes, is being able to, you know, talk to somebody, because it helps them feel like, okay, I can talk about this. I'm not alone, right? I'm not alone in this struggle. Like, and that's the thing, is like a lot of people feel like they're alone, that they're the only ones going through what they're going through. But in reality, they're not. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, people are so good at masking what's going on and it just becomes an internal struggle. So having family and friends, you know, kind of mention it or you know, you guys checking in on your friend, that was awesome. I'm sure that really helped, you know, your friend a lot. And also not just your friend, but ourselves. When we reach out to friends, it makes us feel good to know that we've helped in some way.
Absolutely. I feel like at the end of the conversation, we all felt like we got a little closer because we were more vulnerable with one another. So I want to shift topics and talk about therapy. You know, sometimes I still feel like there's a stigma around going to see a therapist, but could you maybe give us a high-level overview of why it's important to go to therapy, especially if you need this type of mental health support?
Yeah, I feel that it's very important. It's important to go to therapy if you're struggling, you know, if people are struggling with like self-esteem, self-confidence issues, you know, if they're using alcohol or drugs, people living with chronic medical condition, or if they have a loved one that has a medical condition, right? Also, people who are struggling with like big changes in their life, a divorce, loss of a job, loss of a loved one, and that includes pets. Pets are also our loved ones, having relationship issues. Some people don't like the idea of therapy if they've never been to therapy, right? Sitting with a stranger in an office for an hour talking about your innermost thoughts can be really scary at first. And I think that's what keeps people from trying therapy or reaching out for help from a therapist. However, therapy is actually, it's a safe place where anyone can be, you know, 100% authentically themselves without any judgment. It's a great place to vent, to process and uncover more about yourself. One really important fact that I want to bring up about therapy is in order for therapy to work, you want a therapist you feel comfortable with. You know, it's okay to try different therapists. It's okay to tell a therapist that they're not a good fit for you. You know, that you don't, you know, if you don't feel comfortable working with the therapist, it's not going to work because every therapist develops their own style of working with people. But once you find a therapist that connects with you, it really helps people. You know, it helps people processing and healing like past traumas, helps people identify their strengths, helps people better understand what they're going through, and also helps people set new goals in life. And most importantly, learning new coping skills to better manage.
Yeah, so that totally makes sense. And you just were touching on coping skills to better manage. I wanted to ask you about those. What are some simple coping skills for handling distressing symptoms and just generally improving our mental health?
Yeah, one of the simplest coping skills that, you know, that I talk about as a therapist is self-care. You know, it's easy to forget to self-care. Also, knowing that self-care looks different for everyone, you know, what one person considers self-care may not be for someone else. And there's many, many ways to practice self-care. You know, at the core of healthy living, of course, is getting plenty of sleep, eating, exercising. I mean, some people have a difficult time, you know, getting those right. Learning to deep breathe, learning new hobbies, journaling. We call it like brain dump, you know, writing our thoughts and feelings that are weighing us down, like, you know, putting them on paper gets it off our chest and, you know, we can save that for later. Again, social media, right? We call it social media detox, setting aside time away from your phone, you know, setting time aside every day. Like, I'm going to stay off my phone for an hour or two because people are stuck to their phone and that can be overwhelming. Also, just focusing, you know, on positive thinking and gratitude, you know, consider starting each day by listing one thing that, you know, we're grateful for and telling ourselves that it's going to be a good day at the beginning of the day. Affirmations, great self-care also. And what that means is just being nice to ourselves, learning to set healthy boundaries. That's difficult for people to do. And that's part of self-care, right? You know, healthy boundaries with family, friends, our employer, and being okay with saying no. And if you're a spiritual person, you know, setting time aside to pray is also self-care. Again, self-care looks different for everyone. And that's okay.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned that because it makes a lot of sense. Just as we close here, if someone is listening to this and they need to get some support, how can people get help if they're having a mental health crisis?
Yeah, well, our local resources, so our services here at the Rural Health Clinic at the hospital, they can actually reach us. Our phone number here is 760-499-3863. We have two therapists here, myself and Sierra Cameron. She is an associate professional clinical counselor. We also have a therapist over at the Southern Sierra Medical Clinic that's across the street from us. And we have Amanda Lockie. She's a licensed clinical social worker. Their phone number is 760-446-6404. I did want to mention, you know, if somebody is having like a mental health crisis, we have the Ridgecrest Crisis Stabilization Unit. I have their phone number as well. They're the building located behind Taco Bell. Their phone number is 760-463-2880. Also, you know, if it's somebody that's actively suicidal or wanting to harm someone else, of course, 911. And I guess since like 2018, Kern County residents were provided the option to text. So you can text an emergency to the police as well. I have some crisis lines that are really, really helpful. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. The Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255. And this line connects veterans with a qualified and caring VA responder. There's the Trevor Project. It is 1-866-488-7386. And this is an organization that provides crisis interventions and suicide prevention services to the LGBTQ youth ages 13 to 24. And that's been a great resource for teens. They have an amazing resource center on their website, which is thetrevorproject.org. And the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. And lastly, the Warm Line. This is a confidential non-emergency resource for anyone in California seeking emotional support. 1-855-845-7415.
Maria, thank you so much for sharing those resources and for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Maria Llamas, a licensed marriage and family therapist at Ridgecrest Regional Hospital. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Ridgecrest Regional Hospital podcast. To learn more and to access those numbers that were mentioned, please visit rrh.org. If you found this podcast to be helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. My name is Prakash Chandran. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk next time.